Okay, here we go. So, we're ready to play. And here we are for session 4 of Masterful Evocateur, The Art of Calling Forth Genius. Welcome, Bert.
Welcome. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Yay, you made it, Bert.
Sorry, I just got out of a strategic planning session, and I'm in a conference room with my client.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
The client's not here. I'm just saying I borrowed one.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, glad you're here. And, you know, it's interesting. There's been a collaboration between me and Bert with respect to Gamify Your Business piece that's going on. And part of that collaboration was that one of my responsibilities has been to produce a video out of the recording of approximately 6 hours of video recording. You know, it was a three-camera shoot, so there was 2 hours plus on each, more like 7 hours. And out of that recording, there was a camera that was on me, there was a camera on the audience, and a camera on the slides. And I've been trying to, you know, get a five-minute promotional piece for the two of us to work together in collaboration to present to other organizations. Now, if I didn't have these techniques, the core dynamics techniques, the ones about feeling into the energy of it, the ones about the C technique and the expectations and all that sort of stuff, by now I probably would have thrown myself off a bridge with the amount of setbacks that seem to be keep occurring. And I've been having to keep delaying the time to tell Bert, say, yes, we've got it. And the latest one has been that in rendering it, the program I'm using doesn't seem to want to do that. So now all the work that I've done in there is now I have to go into a new editing suite and go through the learning curve of editing that puppy back to that. Now it's going to be a little bit shorter time frame because at least I have a good idea of the edits, but I couldn't put anything out. And it would be really crazy making if I didn't have a technique to go, okay, I'm frustrated, I feel helpless, okay, where is that energy? And I'd be choking the bejesus out of anything that came to the door, you know, or any kind of interruption. So I mention that to say that, you know, even at this point in time, and this is the other part I want to mention here, even at this point in time, and although I've been using the tools and techniques for quite a while, it doesn't mean that the process of clarifying and distilling and cleaning out the closet, so to speak, the internal closet, it doesn't mean that it's just automatically going over very quickly. Yes, it's finite, and you're going to keep being revisited by provocations from source, from the universe, whatever, from there, so that it's going to continue to show you where your stuff is that's still hanging out in the dark corners. So you might be at this stuff for 2 years. Now, the good thing is that it tends to have a kind of cumulative effect to give you a certain amount of equanimity, meaning you don't start pulling your hair out as the first instinct. You at least have a little bit of space in between stimulus and response to go ahead and say, wait a minute, it would be really useful for me to do a core dynamic technique on this. So I just wanted to share that with you both for the application of it, you know, and my own personal testimony, one of which is, you know, there's been many in my life. And then the second, to just give you the context that says, yeah, this is a game that you'll probably be playing, because the game that we're really all in the world is the game of self-mastery. And it's really the only game worth playing. Welcome, Lenana. I see you there. Just wanted to let you know.
Yes, I started listening. Thank you.
That's okay. So I just wanted to let you know that that's ultimately the game that we're all playing on the game boards of the different endeavors in our life: relationship, money, health, business, career, community, family. You know, those are just game boards that provide provocation for us to help clear stuff out so that we can have our own self evoked as part of the natural process. And self-mastery is not about controlling oneself. Self-mastery is about the presencing of having the ability to simply show up and respond spontaneously to the needs of the moment with the fullness of our being. Self-mastery isn't about I can control the environment and everyone around me. It's the operative word of self, and I use capital S when I mean self. It's about self-mastery, meaning that fuller, larger self that comes through the smaller version of the one that I call Michael, and then presences itself into the moment. So that's just the entry point for today, and I wanted to just bring that because part of what's valuable here is to not just look at any of these sessions in a vacuum. To look at them as an ongoing experiential opportunity. But equally importantly, it's that the world that I'm experiencing comes into each session from the now. So I'm not sitting here with a script. I allow the now and what has been occurring for me as well, the, you know, recent now, to affect me and then inform what there is to speak. And this is part of saying what is. It's part of the agility. So any questions out of what it is that I've shared here at the top or any thoughts that are sort of rolling around out there?
It feels like a lot. What you just said was a lot. That's my experience. It's like, so I get it more on a non-intellectual basis.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to figure it out, then I get lost in it.
Yes.
If I just let it in, I can feel into it.
Beautiful way to be with it. And sometimes with working with our clients, you know, essentially what I did is provide an overview and a context for what's really going on. Sometimes working with our clients is that they need a context.
Mm-hmm.
They, the fish, need to know it's water they're swimming in because it's helpful. Up until then, they're at the mercy of the currents because they're not aware of what that force is that's acting on them. So it's valuable at any point in time for you to sense into, feel into, and communicate the context, not just the larger vision, but the context, that in which everything is being currently held, not confined, but held like in your hands, in front of you, in an open palm. So anyone else, anything else that's sort of been sparked or prompted here?
Well, I was talking to the mute button for quite a while, and then I realized what I'm taking away from what you said is that when you're fully present, even with yourself, at each moment, you can learn from things you already know. You can broaden your scope of knowledge, and you can, in other words, you said you don't, this is not a script. Because we are in the present, it can change at that one, at that moment, at that second. The same information, because we are a group of people that bring new ideas, new thoughts, and so that determines where we go.
Yes.
And
you know,
so
now there's a background,
it can't be the
like, it can't be the same.
No, it can't be the same because that's gone.
Yes.
So
and it can't be the same simply because it's different.
Right. And so that applies to who I am as a human being and mm-hmm. in my coaching. Because the client that came to me last week is still the same client, but the issues are different. Because it's not last week. It's today and what's happening right now.
It goes even further than that. They're actually not the same client. They have the seemingness of the same. There may be any number of aspects that show up that are similar to the previous week. But when something changes in 1 degree close up, it's not really all that visible. Meaning, in a week, it may not always be that visible in a client. But over time, the arc of that, the expansion of that, that 1 degree divergence, even a tenth of a degree divergence, is going to have significant effect over time. So you have, if you're meeting on a weekly basis, 167 hours in between the time in which you last encountered that person and now. And they have had 167 hours of new input from the world, which is going to stir up all sorts of things. They're not a frozen in time container like Han Solo in whatever Star Wars version that was, where he was like frozen in carbonite. They're not frozen. And then they thaw out just before your call. They are in constant flux.
Well, what I meant was the body image is there.
The body image is exactly.
Right. But no, because we don't stay the same. We're influenced by what we hear, what we learn. So it's constant, and I get that.
Yes. And even, if we were to look at the body, and again, it's because of the limitation of our eyes and our perceptors. There would be any number of cells that would have died and any number of new cells that would have been born in that week.
Yes.
So not even the body is the same. Nothing is the same, no matter how similar it is. 5 minutes ago cannot be. Every one of you is now different. And will be different in 15 seconds from now. And so as people who are evoking and calling forth, it is incumbent on us to call forth what's being presenced now, knowing that that you're calling forth temporarily a snapshot that is part of an evolution. And this is what's tricky. It's much easier to attempt to solidify somebody into an icon on a desktop and then push that icon and then think you know everything about it. That's what's much easier in the world. It's easier in relationships. It's easier in business. It's easier in concepts. It's easier in the realm of technology. It's easier in our level of expertise. It's easier. But it's not accurate. And we're talking now here at this moment on some of the principles that are part of actually evolutionary coaching. It is about the interplay between that which we call ourselves and the evolution of that which we call ourselves. It's called Through Us and From Us by the other forces in the universe. Wow, I had no idea I was going here. Oh, yeah, it must have been that brownie. What was in that?
Was it after the cheeseburger or before it?
The bacon cheeseburger, yes.
With the fries.
Yes. So, anyone else? Any thoughts? What's resonating out there? What's rippling?
I think it just brings to life for me even more the reality of knowing that whatever processes or strategies that you put in place for yourself, you have to still allow those to be fluid.
Yes. It's a distinction between creating the plan versus perceiving the plan.
Can you expound on that sentence? Perceiving versus creating the plan?
Yeah. Creating the plan, we are imagining the steps that we think are going to get us to X place.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a certain amount of evidence that says that the projection of most of those steps is, over time, it's going to be fairly accurate. Now imagine if you, for a moment, were able to step a week in advance and perceive the events that had occurred in that week. Would you not then be able to negotiate more from what's coming versus attempting to try and control what's coming?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be perceiving how it plays out. In the same way that when I got my job in the theater, on Broadway, I had a moment of perception. Tom Stone calls it remembering the future. I had a moment of perception that said I was going to be on Broadway. The how of it was going to work itself out. But it was very clear that in the game that I was engaged with, that was going to show up. I don't know how mm-hmm. I knew that, but I would tell you that every cell in my body knew that to be so. I just needed to show up and continue to play. So it's more toward the evolution of where we live from, meaning as a human being, we tend to live from, again, the discrete boundaries of our five senses, except we already know that there's more to us than that. In the same way that we can sense that someone was about to call on the telephone and you just go, I was just thinking about you. Out of quantum entanglement. Quantum entanglement isn't limited to the now time frame. We can, with enough clarity, experience, you know, potentially glimpses or windows on the future. Some people call it psychic, but I don't think of it that way. That tends to have such a load of baggage about it. I talk about it as, you know, from the point of view of intuition. There's a natural knowing that you're connected to and with. And every one of you on this call has felt that. You've just known this was the place to go to. This was the person to talk to. Why? I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And we think the intuition is prompting us to do that. What if it's simply revealing that that person was the one to talk to because at some point in the future we had already talked to them and it had turned out in X way? That's a little deep. So part of what we're up to here is the possibility of our evolution matching evolution as it occurs. Even in response to what we don't know is coming. Cognitively, we don't know it. But because
now,
we're not... Yes, go ahead.
I was just getting the sense. I keep getting the sense of like I just stepped on some moving, something like a train, but it's not quite that. That's moving through
mm-hmm.
time, or
yep.
And it's and I'm interacting with what's coming. But I'm, you know, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just being on this moving something track or yeah. So
yeah.
It's like, wow, that's a different sense. And I didn't eat a brownie.
No, but you live in Washington, and that'll do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just smell it.
Yeah. So So what I really want to remind you all of is that what I'm talking about there is not out, it's not really out there. It's not really woo. It's just a reflection of the quantum entanglement principle, the field of energy that we're all connected to, which means if we are open enough and receptive enough, and you can read or interpret that to mean we've subtracted enough of our baggage, every now and again we're going to get a hit, a buzz from that which we have called the future. And it is every one of us has had the experience. I think I should go here tomorrow. Why? I don't know. And then our mind will come in and give us justification and evidence and reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily why. We had a gut instinct.
Would you call that a premonition?
It could be a premonition, yep. Now, it's not about what's, it's not from the, necessarily always from the particulars of an event, like, oh, I'm going to see the bridge collapsing, you know? It's not necessarily that way, although I imagine that it's possible for some people that that could be true. I don't know. I just haven't run into that one.
But there's some instinct there that,
yep,
that gives you that that ability to see that future before it happens.
Yes, and it's less about a picture than it is about a knowing. So, for example, for me, there was a knowing that I was going to be on Broadway. I didn't have a picture of me on a stage and a Broadway marquee and lights and a visualization like Shakti Gawain would put it. So, let's take a look and see where we're going. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Here we are. What we're up to, pulse check. We're going to take a look at the illuminating awareness focus, which is actually, coincidentally, part of this conversation about illuminating our awareness. Some of the frictors to illuminating awareness, what to call forth from someone in the realm of passion, passion trap, and then passionate play. So what's been being steeped in your uniqueness produced? What frictors have you run into regarding uniqueness? And where are you still not owning your uniqueness?
Michael, this is Margie.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think about our last call and that, you know, one of the calls to action that you had was for us to claim a letter. And
yes.
I don't know that I actually consciously was doing this at the time, but as I look at this and think about the last couple days, interestingly enough, I've had 3 discovery calls in the last couple days. And with all 3 of those people, I really got a sense that my one-on-one coaching was not a good fit for them and for me, and didn't even make that offer. And I think that's really coming into, you know, that fits into talking about the uniqueness and not only my uniqueness, but also looking at their uniqueness as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you, and I'm just going to invite you to consider this, did you know that it wasn't a fit out of something that was or wasn't said, or was there a ping on your computer that happened before the what or wasn't said, and you just went, this isn't a fit?
I had no idea ahead of time. None at all.
Yeah.
The conversation that I had with the lady yesterday, mm-hmm. the way she was responding to some of the questions I asked her, like,
mm-hmm.
sort of caused the little, you know, light bulb to be flashing. And
right.
that just, when that happened, it was like, okay, I, you know, just felt like if we weren't really connecting with the way I was asking the questions, then I just felt like it really wasn't a good fit for us.
Mm-hmm.
The two people today, I just felt that there were other ways to help them better.
Mm-hmm. This is a fabulous movie that I recommend that people watch. It would probably be on Netflix. It's called Next with Nicolas Cage. And Julianne Moore and Jessica Biel. And in the movie, this is a man who can see 2 minutes into the future. And there are a number of places in the movie where he sees all of the alternative possibilities so that he can step into the one that he most desires to step into. And that's all I'll tell you about it. It's interesting to watch how it plays out. Sometimes all we're
too many choices. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You were saying if you give people too many choices.
Yeah, that gives to, you know, I wouldn't want that many choices in stepping into the future myself.
Well, there's a sense that if you were steeped in your uniqueness, you would probably know which one of them would be like an automatic discard.
Mm.
See, each one of these people was a possibility in your future.
Yeah.
And your attunement to yourself makes it an automatic discard. You know, just the same as, like, you know, walking outside of my house and, you know, whatever, if there's a future out there, I'm sure there's probably one, in the infinity of the, if there's a future out there where I get shot by somebody who just decided he wanted to do that. Okay. That's not a future I want to step into. Discard. I could recycle that one into the bin. And now with the updated program, shred. Cool. So who else? What has being steeped in your uniqueness produced, at least to the degree that you played with it this week, in whatever fashion?
Well, I'll talk. I had a session with Michael today, and what cleared up for me was the difference between knowing my uniqueness or living from that place and trying to describe it. And I was really mixing those two up and letting go of the thinking I needed to describe it really has freed me up and given me space to just live from it. So that was really important today.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of the traps. It's a seductive trap that when people say, you're unique. Okay, well, how? And we struggle for words. And the minute we struggle for words, the only thing that we can come up with is some combination of words that invariably, because words are born out of the human language and therefore common to all people, they're going to have a certain level of generic about them. And even if we want to combine those to attempt to refine it a little bit closer to what it is, nevertheless, we're talking about your uniqueness, not experiencing it. Because your uniqueness is experienced on an energetic level. And then we gravitate toward using words to attempt to describe it so that we can then pop our experience up into our intellect so that we can then understand it and then potentially control or direct it. It's like a system.
Oh, I was all in there this week. I was all in there.
What did you say? I missed it. I missed what you said.
She said she was all in there this week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's like we're in a constant Britain's Got Talent show. And we have to show the bizarre thing that we can do in order to demonstrate that we are unique. Uniqueness is not an activity. It's a state of being. It's an expression of energy that may flow through any number of activities, but in and of itself, it isn't an activity. So to attempt to demonstrate your uniqueness is much like the dog and pony show of Britain's Got Talent, or worse, the Gong Show. Cool, so let's keep moving. Okay, illuminating awareness, this particular agility, is useful for all of the evoking, but nevertheless, it seems to be temporarily matched with this one. It's subtracting that which obscures awareness from the principle and the point of view frame of reference that awareness already exists and we have a bunch of stuff blocking it. That's all. It's not like we're going to walk up to somebody, slap them on the head and say, "You can see." You can already see, but if you have your hand in front of your face, there's not much you can do with it. Illuminating awareness is cognizant that awareness is always present, although often hidden by frictors, and any number of those in particular. Our old friend fear is one of them. One of the things that keeps us from presencing or being in the experience of our awareness with respect to fear is that we experience our awareness, something that we're aware about, and what happens is we might actually have to do something about it. So it may temporarily be that we want to experience blindness so that I don't have to do anything about that. That's called the boogeyman effect. If I'm under the covers and I can't see the boogeyman, he's not there. Illuminating awareness is also that awareness of what fits the pattern that is calling for action, speaking, decisions, and reflections. Passion calls for those things. When we're experiencing our passion, we become aware of what it's calling for. Action, speaking, decisions, reflection, those kinds of things. Here's the key frictors that both you and your clients will experience. We may not like what we're aware of. How many people in a relationship, Before one gets the clunk in the head of somebody cheating on them, actually want to be aware that the relationship is not going anywhere, that it may in fact already be over. But the only way it seems like it can play itself out so that it becomes obvious enough that it's over is that one or the other party does something dramatic and highly visible. I would pose the notion that one of the reasons why people have affairs in relationship is that the relationship has long been over already. The affair doesn't end the relationship. It's been gone. Its time has passed in that form. And then the event called the affair simply shows what has already been available to know, but we kept ourselves from it. It's like we didn't want to know that. So we may not like what we're aware of. We may have to do something now that we're aware of it. I mean, practically the minute I knew my relationship with my ex-wife, my son's mother, was over, I could not hold it. And I wasn't going to wait for some dramatic event in the future. I was clear. Another frictor is that we're afraid of the expectations generated by what we're now responsible for. So if I'm aware, for example, if I'm aware of how capable I am, if your client is aware of how competent or even more masterful they are in something, or that they have a power or an influence in certain arenas, often what happens is that now there's a whole bunch of expectations that come along with that. With great power comes great responsibility. That kind of thing. So people tend to not want to be aware of how good they are at something, because if they are, then they can no longer hide under the label called beginner. Because other people are going to now expect a certain level of performance from them. See, there are two versions of that old phrase, imposter syndrome. One is people are going to be afraid they're going to be found out that they're terrible. The other one is that they're afraid that they are going to find out that they are now magnificent, and now they have to live up to that. In whatever that means. It's a great way for us to keep ourselves from knowing what it is that we're truly capable of. Once again, as a tool for subtraction, the gap, weight, see, sanya, makor. So is there anybody here who has a sense that it would be useful for you to play with illuminating awareness today for you?
So you're asking if there's something in particular that we think we could become more aware of, be illuminated to.
Yes, that there is something that the engaging with the agility of illuminating awareness will be of value for you today in some way around some subject. Almost like there's a little peek in the window of awareness going, hey, wait, it'd be really good to look over here today. Okay? It may not be now. Let's see if it shows up in the next few minutes. Here's what to call now, what to evoke, what to call forth from someone. Passion. Passion is great, powerful emotion. Although the dictionary says any, it doesn't necessarily become useful as applies to all emotions. Eagerness and zeal. Passion, it's a fervent enthusiasm, a fire in the belly, which is actually an ongoing, participatory, almost determination inside. And it's often signaled by deep frustration, not petty ones, but deep. When I say frustration, I mean frustration about what isn't and might be, or what is and could be different. really deep frustration. So, for example, the passion that Gandhi felt about his country being free, that passion was huge, and he put himself through the ringer for it. It wasn't just we're going to do a peaceful march. There were times when he was beaten. There were times when they wanted him arrested, thrown in jail, all sorts of different things. Mandela, the same thing. Doesn't necessarily always have to accompany that, but it is that you see something and you want it to be different. Or you see something that might be and it isn't there yet. So calling forth people's passion. My passion for this work around people's uniqueness and evolutionary coaching was tapped, triggered at a deeper level than I'd had it at the recent conversation, conversation among masters, when a man named Robbie Richards from Zappos came up and he put us through a particular exercise. And I've mentioned that I had a painful experience of what it would be like if I didn't get on with this work in the world. And how painful it would be to not have completed it, at least my part in it. And lots of things happened out of that. This is what passion is not. It's not rage. That's not passion. Anger is anger. Passion is passion. And both of them have a whole lot of energy with them. But the undercurrent of passion, number one, doesn't have the same level of destruction that rage has. And more importantly, it's more enduring than rage, because rage will flame out. Passion is not suffering. You know, there's a lot of people out there who think that you have to suffer for your passion. I don't think so. Suffering is suffering. Passion is passion. People dying in hideous conditions in diamond mines is suffering. That doesn't mean they are passionate about digging diamonds. And then passion is also not an excuse for out-of-control behavior, wherein we justify that whatever action it is, regardless of the impact, is I'm just being passionate. I'm passionate about what I think. In that moment, we have stepped beyond the boundary of we have our passion to what we're calling having our passion actually has us, and hence a lot of collateral damage. And that's where the passion trap occurs. Passion takes over, and it's caught in a repetitive cycle that expands to becoming this kind of roller coaster around and around and around, like a hamster wheel leading nowhere. We're more enticed and engaged with the experience of passion and the adrenaline flowing through our body and the wildness of it, so to speak. We're more feeling that than we are about what we're doing with that energy. It becomes like a drug. Typically, one will wind up in the passion trap if the passion or the seeming passion people are feeling is born out of the not self, meaning it's born out of the conditioning, the core dynamics, things like that. Passion at play. Passionate play. That occurs when one's fully connected to what is deeply important to them. They have this enduring fire in the belly. And it requires zero motivation. Since it's being called out of one's essential nature to fulfill that expression of passion. Why are you climbing Mount Everest? Because it's there. So, now what? Well, let's see. Illuminate the existing awareness about the appropriate frictors to subtract for passion to reveal itself. So maybe this is the awareness piece for someone today. What is that deep core passion? Anyone have the intuition to play?
Well, if no one else does, I will, because I'm here going,
okay.
Wow, I don't know what it is anymore.
Okay, good. Perfect place to play. So, you said you're not really clear about what your passion is anymore?
Yeah. I mean, as you're going, it's like, wow, I'm not sure I have a fire in my belly at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Let me ask this. How comfortable are you in your current life?
How comfortable am I in my current life?
Yeah, in your current life. Zero to 100.
80.
Do you have any sense of the level of disruption it would create in order for you to connect with this passion?
Maybe that's where the frictor is, the fear of that.
Okay.
No, I don't. But there's something when you ask that question.
Yeah. Pardon?
There was something there when you asked that question.
Yes. Yes, let's see if we can provoke it a little bit further and get it up on the screen. Okay? If you connect with your passion, pretty much everything you know about your life and what you're doing may have to change. Can you feel any energy in your body when I say that, or around you?
Yeah.
Okay, where is it? In you or around you?
Well, some of both. I mean, it's just kind of starting to... Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to say it again, slightly different.
Okay.
Everything that you currently know and are comfortable with may absolutely have to be left behind if you connect with this passion. Which place feels more compelling at this moment, inside or outside?
Somehow outside. Kind of surprised.
Outside?
Yeah, outside.
Okay. So good. So I'm just going to ask you to speak this phrase with a little energy, not a lot. And then just notice how far the sound waves go out from your body. Okay, almost like you're at a canyon. right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to kind of echo out, but they may actually go out very far in the world or the universe. Say, I do not want to give up what I have to get what I want.
I do not want to give up what I have to get what I want.
Can you sense how far the sound waves of that message going out to the universe out there?
You know, it almost feels like I'm in a bubble when I
yep.
say that. So, yeah.
Okay, so how far out from you is the bubble?
Not real far at the moment because it's more like it's a constricting bubble. It's like,
okay.
So it's like
good.
Breaking.
So just,
yeah.
Yeah. Put your awareness right out to the edge of the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're there, let me know.
Okay. I'm there because it's not very far out from me.
Yeah. And because this is light, we're going to move a little bit further in a minute. And then just let your awareness slip outside to see how the energy is different outside.
Mm.
If you can sense and feel how different it is being inside the bubble and outside the bubble. What's it feel like out there?
I'm trying to get out of it. I'm still trying to get outside the bubble.
Well, just let yourself kind of seep out. Don't try to force yourself to break out. You know, kind of like seep between the molecules of the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What I sense is that bubble is really small, and I'm a lot bigger when I'm outside the bubble.
You say, okay. Feels like you're a lot bigger when you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you to kind of float around in that vast, you know, that bigness. And just notice the bubble and what it does when you're no longer inside it, giving it any energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of...
It's just what?
Floating away. It's kind of floating away. It's just like shrinking up and floating away.
Shrinking up and floating away. Okay. And can you still see it at all? Is it still there or is it just gone?
It's, it's pretty gone. I mean, it's just...
Pretty gone and gone aren't quite the same.
Yeah, it's pretty like, yeah. I mean, it's, there may be a microscopic dot of it, but it's not, I don't really feel it or sense it. But I definitely feel different outside of it.
Okay. Now, the next level of this game is to say, I'm afraid of what it will take from me if I connect to my passion inside.
Hmm.
And when I say take, I mean require.
Yeah. I'm afraid of what it will take of me to...
Yeah.
To... What is it? To live my passion. What was the rest?
I'm afraid of what it will take from me.
What it will take from me to live my passion. So it's not feeling very true. I think that's why I'm having a hard time with it.
Okay, good. So then play with this.
So let me tell you, because what I'm sensing, I mean, it's almost like my energy is feeling really big and I feel a fire. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like
okay,
feeling
good.
It. So that's why what you said wasn't
Yes, of course. Okay. It's already open. We're just looking to stoke your connection to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you can feel the fire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you to put your awareness around that fire. And now for a moment, imagine that fire just being snuffed out. It's no longer in you. Any sensation around that?
Dead.
Dead. Okay. I'm just going to ask you to feel right into the center of that deadness.
Yeah, I've done some stuff with you, and this one's really hard because my light keeps wanting to shine there, and so it's really hard for me to feel the dead. It was just like, boy, if it's not there.
Okay, good. So now what I'm going to ask you to do is to consider the idea that if this passion does not get expressed in the world, you could die with no one knowing. Any energy on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just go right into the center of that. What's happened now?
Still feel it some. It's like a real, it's like a pain in my gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's dense and yeah, and it's still there.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to work with a little bit other part of it. We're going to leave that there for a moment. I'm just going to ask you to imagine a time when your passion, no matter how young you were or what age you were, when you were fully, passionately out there with something. And somehow you either got shot down or it went bad. Something went bad in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you track one of those?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Can you feel the energy of it turning bad?
Yeah.
Okay. Where is that, inside or out?
It's out coming in. I mean, yeah, it's
okay.
Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So just go out to the farthest place where it's beginning, outside you. The source of it. It's like it's all coming at you. And you can't escape the consequence of it going that way. Just go out to the very edge of that source. Again, almost like a bubble. Out, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And now the energy is coming towards you.
Right.
Right. See where it's originating. Okay. When you get to that awareness and you get to where the edge of that is, let me know.
Okay.
What's happening now?
I'm still in it, but I kind of see
the edge.
I see some light. Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
I'm not there, but
yeah.
I see it.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, because you can move at the speed of thought, just allow yourself to go over to the edge, almost like a person going to the window inside a house,
mm-hmm.
right? When you get to the edge, let me know.
Okay. Okay, I'm at the end.
Okay, good. Now, just like, you know, like if a child is looking out the window in the living room and they can see what the outside is like and what the energy of all of that is out there, just ask you to notice what the outside is like. What's it like out there?
It's lighter. I was really in a dark space. This is much lighter and starting to see like little bits moving around out here.
Okay.
So there's still a little bit of denseness to it, but it's
right.
Like a little bit of a cirrus cloud, maybe something like that. So still clearing away a bit.
Okay. And how does it feel if you just kind of let yourself drift out there, almost like you weren't really solid, you just drifted outside the edge of the bubble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's more like I'm out with the billions and billions of galaxies and stars and comets and asteroids.
Yeah. Okay.
And that goes forever. I mean, I can just, like...
Yes. And so can you see from out there that this bubble that's been pouring in on you is really only a story that some part of you has been making up so that you don't experience that pain in the belly of what will happen if you don't live your passion out?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. You really want to put any energy into that story anymore? Now that you're aware of it?
Kind of seems stupid.
Yes. So what's happening to that bubble?
Well, the bubble's not there.
So now.
Yeah. And I don't really feel the pain in my belly anymore either.
So what's in your belly
there's
now?
A tiny little bit, but kind of the same thing as what's on the outside, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Same space with stars and galaxies, and it's like
yes,
infinite spaciousness inside, like infinite spaciousness mm-hmm. outside.
Now, do you
feels
have an
better.
Awareness? Yeah. You have an awareness that your passion is an expression of that spacious galaxies, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
waiting to simply be expressed. And to show itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sense that there's anything inhibiting it once it shows itself?
Mm-hmm. Not in this moment, but
mm-hmm.
and I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
well, you don't
know
what it is yet, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what it
yeah.
is yet. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is to see if you can notice in that area whether or not there's any energy that is simply on hold.
Can you say more about that? I'm not quite sure if I know what that
well,
means.
It's like on pause, like somebody hit the pause button on the energy being released.
Oh, okay. It's being held in or something. No, not in this moment.
Okay, good. So let me ask you this. In that,
okay.
Yes, and let me ask you this. In that space, that vast kind of galaxy inside you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to ask you to drop a question. And here's the question. And whatever answer comes is whatever comes. What is waiting for me to take it on?
Hmm. So the answer that comes is, I don't know, and I'm open.
Okay, good. So now your sort of passage is clear for the passion to show itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any concern that if this passion comes and it is full on energy and your entire life now has to change in order for you to fulfill this passion, do you have any concern about that whatsoever?
Yeah. I do.
Okay, where is that? Where is that concern?
In my skin. Like right at, yeah. On the, that's what comes up. It's just like right on my, on the outside of my body, on my skin.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you to, that's almost like a bubble that is just...
Yeah, a little bit, but it's a little different.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you to let yourself slip outside the awareness of that edge. All right?
Yeah.
And outside the constraint of that, the fear and concern of that, what's outside it? Is there any fear outside there?
No. No, I'm back out into the
universal
energy again immediately.
Yes, kind of immediately. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that fear doesn't live out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the value of that fear for you? What's its current purpose?
I think it's that one of, God, I might have to do something about it.
Yeah.
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 Mm. It's really thin. I mean, it's like, and I've kind of felt this. I felt this yesterday. It's really interesting. Like, I just have a, and it's sort of, it's not there at the moment, but it's like this thin sheath, thin layer between me and it. It wasn't thick or big, but it was, I could feel it yesterday,
Okay. So when you say, I might have to do something about it, is there a distinction for you between you, EJ, and you as agent of the universe?
Mm.
Having to do something about it. Is DJ going to have to do something about it? Or is DJ as agent of the universe going to have to do something about it? Any distinction there?
Well, I like the second one better. That feels like, wow, I'll just be powered into it. I mean, it's like, then it's not all up, then it's not up to me, the energy coming from me. It's the energy coming through me.
Yep. And do you see that, can you see from here that the story inside that thin shield is a separation from you and the universe?
Yeah.
It's an erroneous perception that you would have to take it on yourself, and it would be way too intense for you to handle.
Right.
You get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to keep that story going?
No.
No.
It's like a habit. What story is a habit?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, when it comes through me, then it's like there's no stopping because that energy is infinite. So I just...
You just show up and you be with it.
Yeah.
So what we're playing with here is the illusion of the perception that you are outside the universe. That there is a you and then there's the universe.
Seems to be a theme here.
Okay. So is that a story that is useful to you if it keeps you constrained in a small BJ?
No.
No. So what's happening to that skin tight?
Oh, it's not there. I mean, I got outside of it immediately, and I'm sort of back in that space of feeling big. It's really interesting because I am a small person and I'm feeling really, I mean, you know, my body is.
Yes.
But I'm feeling really big in the moment, which is.
Yes.
Not something I'm used to feeling, but it's, I like it.
Okay,
my energy feels really big.
Good. So now with this in mind, I'm going to see if we can provoke this again, just to be thorough.
Okay.
And say, you know, you realize that if you absolutely let this get connected to this passion,
mm-hmm.
and it calls you to take action and do stuff about it, that it may absolutely change your life. Any concern about that?
Not in this moment. In this moment, it's like, oh, okay, I can handle it. And I have the universe behind me. It's like it's not to me to deal with it. It's sort of like I'm feeling this gentle push of the universe's energy.
Yes, the universe is actually, if you keep opening yourself to it, it actually is you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Not about whether or not it supports you. It is you.
Hmm.
How does that feel?
Yeah, I'm really feeling into it. It's kind of strange. It's like I,
yes.
Yeah. I think it's, I'm part of it, and I mean, I feel me, I feel my body, I feel my energy, and then I can kind of almost, disappear into the universe at the same time and have both go on at the same time.
Yes, that's it. You are an expression of it, and you can disappear into it. That's the paradox of the human existence.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So what's happening is I'm just feeling like all this energy vibrating in my body, it just, in a moment. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let me check in with people. And, oh, just as a caveat here, BJ, don't be surprised if something pings you and all of a sudden calls your attention more powerfully than it ever has. And it might have been something that has always been in your life or been in the background in your life for a while, and it's just all of a sudden grabbing your attention and you go, damn, I have to do something about that.
Hmm.
Don't be surprised if that occurs.
Okay.
Okay. So, other people on the call, as you listened to all of that, what either happened for you or what did you notice?
Well, this is Margie. What I was noticing, really what was coming up for me is as the observer, is just listening to the whole process, going through it. I mean, I know I've been through it as a participant, but observing it, it changes and it morphs a little bit, and checking in and checking in and checking in. So it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes we're in core and sometimes we're in C. And we have to just respond. Anyone else? Molly or Lenama? Anything else you notice or something that happened for you? Because sometimes there's kind of ricochet effect.
I was in more of a participant.
Yes. Okay. So what happened over there? That happens, by the way, ricochet effect. I understand that.
So, yeah, I was kind of walking through that for myself as you were asking the questions and really being in tune to what was coming up for me.
Cool. And where did that take you?
Well, what I determined is a lot of minds is more, it's inner. It wasn't, the energy wasn't as much outside of me as it was inside of me. So it was really a neat experience.
And as a consequence of going inside instead of the outside, what's happened?
I think that I realize that there are some things that I've really got to allow myself to fully feel. If that makes any sense?
Yes, it does. It's very hard for us to feel our passion if we have the circuit breakers off on other ceilings. You know, like an electrical panel?
Yes.
The whole different circuit breakers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one goes to the stove, one to the dishwasher, one to all of the outlets, one to the lights, you know, all that sort of stuff. If we flip the master switch, because we don't want to feel something, and we're concerned that there's electricity of that something going to other places in the house, and we flip the master switch. And then it's hard for us to feel the other pieces. So if we're busy resisting feeling things in any way, shape, form, it's hard for us to be fully connected to our passion. Because it lives at the feeling level, the sensing level. And then it gets ignited, or rather released, into activity. But it's a being state. And anything that keeps us from being with our being keeps us from experiencing full-on passion. Cool, good. Go to town on it. Anything you noticed, Molly?
Well, I didn't relate. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Because my passion is so strong inside that it explodes on the outside. And I get myself into trouble with it. That's how strong it is. I mean, it took me a long time to get there, but I know what it is. I know what it feels like. And when we were talking about you know, seeing something actually or before it actually happens or feeling it, I'm there. I just know that when the time comes, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's just going to be one big starburst and it's going to happen.
Right.
Because I experience it every day. There are testimonials, little things that come to me that I don't even ask for, but they appear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so aware of them that it excites me, it increases my energy level, it pushes me to move even more, you know, not more forward, but to move forward than where I am right at the moment. That this
Great.
Is the direction for me.
Fabulous. Yeah.
And that doesn't say also that every day is wonderful and the world is just perfect and I'm perfect. And no, it doesn't. But it's still that passion that I don't lose because it feels good. It's comfortable.
Great. So the passion trap in that circumstance, potentially, that I want to alert you to, is that the feeling of the explosion becomes more important than the impact of the expression. Get the distinction?
Yeah, I do, and I haven't really thought about that, but I kind of think
that's my invitation.
I think that when it happens, I'll know it.
Yes. So what can happen, and I'll run a parallel with this. Some people get so addicted to the experience of expressing anger because it has an adrenaline rush through the body that they become more involved with having the experience of that adrenaline rush than they do with the impact of where the anger is being directed and what it's being directed to.
Right. But for me, it's not so much the adrenaline rush. Is it what it does for me, because my frictors are in, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, is my confidence level. So what this does for me, it ignites that confidence level to where I don't have to worry or think about that anymore. Because the little telltale signs that I get are the things that guide me to keep
right.
on going, to push forward.
Cool.
The questions that you asked, the first three questions, I answered them in my head. And they were so fabulous, those questions, because right there and then, I could feel my passion as you answered those questions, as you asked
mm-hmm.
those questions. Because I couldn't relate to them. I thought, oh, my goodness.
Right. See, it doesn't matter how and when it gets triggered or connected or we experience our connection with. It doesn't matter. What you also noticed through that time is that there was no attachment to me being right about what was going on. It was just what was next.
But those questions were so important.
Yes.
Because they brought out the essence of who you are by
yeah.
thinking about them.
Yeah. But I don't pre-plan my questions.
Really?
Well, hell no.
Oh, I thought you had it all written down.
Oh, you mean the ones on the slide?
No, I'm teasing you. Oh, my goodness. I'm keeping quiet.
Yeah, so no, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
understood that because you need
I got
to
it.
Go further.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're
doing.
And
they show up to take it further.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really cool about provocative inquiry. It is that the questions are spontaneously born out of the interaction of the moment. That particular agility is really quite wonderful. It's not about whether or not somebody thinks about a powerful question.
Right.
I don't give a crap about a powerful question because a powerful question is in the eye of the experiencer or in the ears of the experiencer. Already a given. But the question is, where are the questions being born from? Are they being born from my intellect and trying to solve the problem, or are they being born from what is calling to be present then invoked in the moment?
Absolutely.
What I find that was really interesting about all of that is how in that moment it evoked different things for each of us.